This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, October 17th, 2012. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. Support for KUAF comes from the 26th Annual Hospice Autumn Brunch, November 2nd from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the home of Joni and John Dyer in Rogers. A seasonal buffet, live entertainment, and door prizes will be offered. Proceeds to benefit terminally ill patients in Northwest Arkansas. Tickets and more information available at 444-9888 or wregional.com. And support for KUAF also comes from the University of Arkansas School of Law, hosting the first annual Race Judicata NWA this Saturday morning, October 20th, beginning at 8:30 a.m. This 1K walk, run, and 5K race will benefit the Legal Aid of Arkansas. Registration and more information is available at racejudicatanwa.org.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, we commemorate the Morrell Act on the 150th anniversary of it being signed into law. Also, Senator John Bozeman talks to Roby Brock from our content partner TalkBusiness.net about the Farm Bill and more.
And the Caravan Sarai tour lands in Northwest Arkansas. All that and more, but first, hundreds of new jobs soon will be created in Northwest Arkansas. Matt DeCampbell, a spokesman for Governor Mike Beebe, says the details were unveiled this morning.
We were able to announce a new company in Rogers called Next Life, which is going to build a facility and hire 350 people in Rogers. They are a recycling company. They take post-consumer plastics, they call them, basically used plastic products, and they break it down into a resin that can be used for plastic products to be made new.
DeCampbell says the company's plan will reduce the carbon footprint for this kind of production by 70%, which will be good for the environment, while the jobs will be good for the area's economy.
They're going to be manufacturing-type jobs. It's going to be a matter of processing this plastic and creating this resin and then having it ready to be produced and to get out to all these companies. And they're building a headquarters as well, and they're going to look to have more joint ventures with other manufacturers and other companies. So we may see even more jobs in the future in more directions.
Next Life is based in Boca Raton, Florida, but the company also operates facilities in Frankfort, Kentucky, Sterling Heights, Michigan, and elsewhere across the country.
For the second time in a week, workers petitioning Walmart descended upon Bentonville yesterday to have their grievances heard. This time, members of Warehouse Workers United urged the retail giant to adopt a set of standards that would improve conditions for and in retaliations against workers at warehouses contracted with moving goods for the retailer. Warehouse Workers United Director Guadalupe Palma says while the group canceled a protest scheduled for yesterday afternoon, representatives of the group met with Walmart officials yesterday morning.
We had the opportunity to explain in detail to Walmart about the broken equipment, lack of water, retaliation, and even termination of workers who have been outspoken. Ultimately, we believe Walmart must adopt a responsible contractor policy that includes an independent monitoring process in which workers play a key role. We must elevate the quality of jobs in Walmart contracted warehouses, and that will not happen if Walmart ignores warehouse workers. The meeting that we had today was the first step.
While the warehouses in question are not owned or directly operated by Walmart, Palma says that the company is responsible for the conditions present for people working in the company's supply chain.
The warehouses that these workers work at move 100% Walmart merchandise. And Walmart itself has standards for suppliers that requires its own contractors to follow the law, promote freedom of association, and forbids retaliation against its employees. Its own standards call for safe and clean work environment. It encourages its suppliers to provide wages and benefits sufficient to provide workers with discretionary income. So clearly, they have a policy that can already be applied to these contracted warehouses.
Palma says while it is unclear whether Walmart will work to meet the group's requests, changes at the warehouses would not occur if the group hadn't made its voice heard to the company.
The roughly 160,000 customers of Fort Smith's water system can drink a bit easier. City leaders earlier this week officially celebrated the completion of an expansion to one of the city's water treatment plants. The project expanded the plant's available capacity from a daily amount of 30 million gallons to 40 million. Steve Park is the city's director of water utilities. He says the treatment plant expansions are part of a larger process of expanding the water supply, which began with the 2006 completion of expansions to Lake Fort Smith.
That reservoir has been projected to be able to meet the region's demand through the year 2060. The treatment plant that's attendant to the water supply will be expanded in sections as demand grows. You'll incrementally increase the plant to stay ahead of demand. The section we just completed should meet our demand projections through the year 2020. Ultimately, though, as part of the new improvements and the master planning of that site, we have made provisions for the future plant expansions up to 70 million gallons a day.
But before Fort Smith and other cities that buy water can make use of the treatment plant's larger processing capacity, Park says other expansions to the water system have to be made.
Part of what needs to happen is to meet growth for the city and our wholesale customers is to increase the delivery capacity from the lake to Fort Smith, which will also involve a third river crossing into the city. And we are undertaking the first 6.5 miles of that line to be bid out shortly after the first year in 2013. That will remove some of the current hydraulic bottlenecks we have to be able to deliver 40 million gallons a day from the plant.
The first phase of pipeline upgrades are being paid for through voter-approved sales tax bonds, while nearly $36.6 million expansion to the treatment plant was paid for through bonds funded through water rates. Park says the entire 31 miles of pipeline are set to be complete by the year 2020.
A researcher at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences yesterday received a federal grant to develop an individualized treatment system for traumatized children under the age of 5. The $1.6 million federal grant was awarded by the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration to fund the Arkansas Network for Early Stress and Trauma, or NEST. The network is a collaboration between UAMS, Mid-South Health Systems in Jonesboro, and Ozark Guidance Center in Springdale. According to a news release by the school, NEST will provide individualized treatment for young children who have experienced traumatizing events, including various forms of abuse, natural disasters, and domestic violence. The grant will also provide for training of at least 70 mental health professionals on methods of caring for young patients through use of evidence-based practices.
The School of Law at the University of Arkansas has joined a growing list of highly regarded colleges in the area. The university announced today that the National Jurist and Pre-Law magazines have both ranked the school the 14th best value in the nation. The rankings are based on schools' percent of graduates who pass the bar exam and the percent who get a job, weighing those numbers against cost of tuition and living and the average debt with which students graduate. It's the second year that the School of Law at the U of A was ranked among the top 20 institutions in both publications.
Tonight's weather forecast calls for clear conditions with a low in the lower 40s. Tomorrow, expect clear skies with a high of 61 in northwest Arkansas and a high of 68 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow night, expect partly cloudy conditions with a low of 45.